May I now draw us together with the reading of God's Word found today in Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11 through 22. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11 through 22. For the Lord spoke thus to me, and me here is Isaiah, with his strong hand upon me, and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall regard as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he will become a sanctuary, and a stone of offense, and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the teaching among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are signs and portents in Israel from the Lord of hosts, who dwells in Mount Zion. And when they say to you, Inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? To the teaching and to the testimony, if they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. They will pass through the land, greatly distressed and hungry. And when they are hungry, they will be enraged and will speak contemptuously against their king and their God and turn their faces upward. And they will look to the earth, but behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. A very prophetic language here, of course. And so I hope to add some clarity to this prophetic language this day when what is said. Your thought for today is this: be careful of the truth that guides you. Be careful of the truth, and if you want to put truth in those quotes, be careful of the truth that guides you. The first thing that God is wanting Isaiah to do, and there are numerous opinions on what exactly that word translated in the ESV as conspiracy means. All of the Hebrew definitions of it include the word confederacy, like a coming together or grouping together. But the overarching idea here is for Isaiah and all those whom God has kept as his seed, as his remnant, for all of those in Israel who still hold to the teachings of God, his truth, that we are to be children of light and not to align ourselves with sinners or those walking in darkness. We are to be those children of light who are not to align ourselves with sinners and those walking in darkness. As we are to be children of light, and what that light means is that it is an understanding of God's truth that comes through revelation of his word, enabled by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's presence within the hearts of God's people. That light that Scripture talks about is that light of truth that comes through God's word. That truth is applied to us and interpreted for us by the presence and the work of the Spirit within us. And so as we encounter God's word, as we encounter his teaching, whether it comes through a formal worship service such as this, whether it comes through a hymn that you may have heard, whether it comes through a Bible study or individual personal devotions or a word from a friend, however God's word is delivered to you, the interpretation and application of that word to our hearts and to our lives, and the enablement to live out that word in our lives, is a work of that Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 17, as he was praying for his disciples, he says, I have given them, he's talking to his Father, them here as his disciples, and to us, really, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. In Isaiah's day, they were being oppressed, and there was an army that was marching through that area. We talked a little bit about that in previous sermons. The Assyrians were building up. They were a dominant force in the world at that particular time. And they were giving fear to those within that region because they appeared to want to conquer and take control of that area that consisted of the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. We talked about Ahaz last week, I believe it was, who wanted to align himself with the Assyrians. He wanted the big guns and he wanted to be part of their their alignment. And then Israel and Syria was putting pressure on him to come join them in their fight against the Assyrians. They wanted that buffer zone there, the southern kingdom, to keep the Assyrians at bay. And so there was fear in the nation that was being spread by these, by some rumor, some truth in it. And they wanted to believe that they could defeat the Assyrians, or that by some allying themselves with the Assyrians, they would be spared. But God's word was being preached into their ears and their hearts by Isaiah that this is going to be your time of reckoning by God, that judgment was going to fall upon you because of how you have treated God and how you have drifted away from Him and how you have adulterated yourselves to foreign gods. Let me paint a little plainer picture for you. This is what was happening in Israel and in Judah at that particular time. Let's imagine that you have raised a child of yours that you love very dearly, and you've given that child everything that you can give that child to have a successful, bountiful, and safe life. At some point in time, that child starts listening to others. That child starts listening to the lies and peer pressure of others, and that child then becomes rebellious towards you. And for everything that you have given that child, for all the love that you have given that child one day comes to your home and tells you how bad you have been to them, how now that they are going to someone else who will treat them better than you've treated them. And so that is what was happening spiritually in Israel and Judah at that time. That is what was reaching God's ears. You have been good to us, but now we are going into the hearts and home, if you will, of these other gods. And we are going to find our satisfaction in their power. We're going to find our satisfaction in what we have here in our own strength, in our own nation. We have this reputation now. We have had Solomon and David and all of these kings that have come, and we've reached a place where we are just like all of the other nations. And so we're going to find our strength and security in what we can see and hold in our hands. And into that lie then came the truth of God, and it came through Isaiah and other prophets that God was sending, and the people did not want to hear them. And so God instructed Isaiah not to allow the culture of the time, the overall thinking of the society at the time, to bring him into that. He was to stand out. He was to be opposed to that. He was to stand in God's truth and deliver God's light as God has revealed it to him. Because lies drive us deeper into the darkness as they continue to feed us on truth. Truth lights darkness. And when we talk about the light of truth, we're talking about giving understanding. Because lies deceive and do not help us understand. Lies deceive and do not help us understand any better the truth of God. Now folks, there's all kinds of ways that we can get this truth, quotation marks, delivered to us today. As I said in our little preamble, it comes in various mediums to us. It comes through our friends. It comes from all of those who have opportunity to speak into our ears their opinions on things. And never forget that we are certainly capable of lying to ourselves about situations. Never forget that we are certainly capable of lying to ourselves about situations. So we also have to be careful about that fairy tale phrase of follow your heart. Because Scripture tells us that the heart can be deceitful above all. It's a very sinful thing that we have in our heart. And so be very careful about that following your heart and listening to your heart. Because as Isaiah is to stand out from the world, the Lord is to stand out from the world. How does the Lord stand out from the world? In verses 13 and 15, he talks about, through Isaiah, the Lord of hosts, him you shall regard as holy. Holy is set apart. Let him be your source of truth, is what it's saying here. Don't listen to what the nation is saying. Don't listen to those who want to try to take your message and silence it. But to listen to what God is revealing to you. Hear that, take it in, relay it to the people in truth, just as God wants them to hear it. That is your purpose, that is your mission, Isaiah, because the Lord is to stand out from the world. It talks here about how God can be both a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling. What does it mean to be a rock of stumbling? We follow after our own truth. Whatever we perceive that to be, whether it comes from our own hearts, or whether it comes from a radio station, a blogger, Facebook, however we receive something that sounds good to us, we think it sounds good, we want to latch on to that, we follow after that own truth. The more we follow it, the more confident we are in it. That includes, perhaps, the narratives that we make up about ourselves to try to explain the way that we feel or the way that we are because we are either too fearful or for some reason we are too hesitant to confront the truth of God speaking into our hearts is that, yes, this is how you are, but this is how I want you to be. Because we all come to God as we are. But He does not want us to stay as we are. He wants us to be changed into the people that reflect His character, that reflect His glory, that stand in His truth. But a lot of people try to explain the way that they are in this narrative of, I am justified to feel this way, I was born this way, I think this way, this is just who I am. Then they stand in this narrative of acceptance and they deny the truth of God. They deny what's taught in Scripture. They deny what God may be proclaiming to them through other means. And so we stand in that truth of our own making or that which we yield to. But God's truth, that stone of stumbling, stands there and becomes an inconvenient truth for all of those of us who are wanting to follow our own paths. The paths of our own making make us comfortable. And so we want to follow those paths. But God then becomes that rock in that path that won't go away. You have to deal with it. You know, back in the early parts of our settling of this country, as farmers were clearing fields, there were large rocks in some areas of our country that had to be dealt with. If something productive was to happen there in that piece of land, then this rock had to be moved. And there's dynamite or mules and digging and hauling, and with a lot of effort, they had to remove that rock. And so God's truth stands in the paths that we create. And we have to confront that truth. We have to deal with that truth. A lot of people try to deal with that truth by ignoring it. And that's what the people of Israel was trying to do. And if we look hard enough, we see that our country here today is ignoring that truth. We want to silence God because God is speaking something that's contrary to what we want to believe. God is speaking something that is too hard for us to try to attain because we've become confident in who we are and what we are, and we don't want to change. We don't want to confront that part of us. And folks, you don't have to be living in abject sin to struggle with this. It could be a part of any of us, and I say us, it can be a part of any of us that we don't want to confront. It can be that part of us that lives in fear of something. It can be that part of us that lives in anger of something. It can be that part of us that lives in anxiousness about something. Whatever it is in there that God is calling us to step out of and to overcome and to deal with, so that we can be more in tune with the character of God and the contentment and the faith and the love and the steadfastness that He wants us to show to the world. We have to deal with that part of us. So I ask you not to let our hearts, lie to us and say, well, that's a good Bible story, that's a good Sunday school thought, but it doesn't apply to me. Because it, no matter the size of the rock, there's a rock in the path of all of us that we have created about who we are, and that rock needs to be dealt with. But most of us, as Israel did, choose to ignore that rock, to step over it, to step around it, and to pretend like it's not there. So that's what that rock of stumbling means. It's a stone that is in a path of our own making, or that we're comfortable in following, and then all of a sudden there's that boulder, no matter the size, whether it's a pebble or whether it's a boulder in front of us, and we've got to deal with it. We step around it, we ignore it, it's not there, we climb over it, we just want it to go away. We don't want it to hinder us. And so we try to avoid it. But yet it's there. Its presence is there. And that's a picture of what it means here to be a stone of stumbling. And God is saying He has become that stone of stumbling to a nation that has become content in their waywardness, content in their sin, content in how they worship other gods and have taken their true worship away from the God of the Bible. So He tells Isaiah here, be careful of the truth that guides you. Because they were saying, well, why can't we go and inquire of the mediums? Why can't we go and look at our horoscopes? Why can't we go and try to find what the future holds in other means? Why can't we consult the foolishness that's asked here when it says you're going to talk to dead people about how living people should live? Are you going to go and speak to the dead about how we should act here in the living world? And so be careful of the truth. People have a hard time accepting the truth. We want to have our ears tickled. We want to be content in who we are and how we are, because change is hard. Any kind of pattern of behavior that is to be changed for our good is hard to do. Truth leads to that struggle most of the time because the truth asks us to accept hard things. Listening to lies is much easier because they lead us into a false sense of contentment with who we are. It's all about ourselves, even if it encourages us to perform things that look good on the outside. You know, a lot of people hear that lie about you can have it all. You know, if you just work hard enough, you know, good things will come to you. If you just work hard enough, then you can do anything you want to do. And that is not the truth. It is good to work hard, and we can accomplish much. But as one author put it, and I can't remember the businessman's name, he said, I could work 14 hours a day or something like that, and I can work harder, but I'll never be like this successful business person, whoever it was that he named. He said, I will be a better worker, I will accomplish more, but I'll never be where he is by working harder. And a lot of people in our society today fall into that trap, and they listen to that lie of society that you can have whatever you want to have and be whatever you want to be. A philosopher said one time long ago that it's going to come to a point in our country where that most precious gift that we have, time, is going to be sought after and not found. Because there's going to be so many luxuries in our country to pursue and to desire, and we're going to try to have them all. And so time is going to be taken from us. And his words are coming true. The time that we have and should dedicate to the worship of God, to the coming of together as his people, are now scattered out among all the pursuits that we have available to us. We can do so many things now on the weekend, and we feel compelled to do so many things on the weekend because we're so busy Monday through Friday, a lot of times not with work, but with all of the extra stuff that we put on our days, and we put demands upon our families by all of the stuff that we try to do and all that we want our children to do. And so we just run out of time, and by the time Sunday comes here, we are exhausted. Sunday morning starts Saturday night. Never forget that. Sunday morning starts Saturday night. And so that lie that we listen to, that we can have it all, we can do it all, who generally pays the price for that? Or who generally gets cheated out of the time that belongs to him? It's God. And that's what the people were doing in Isaiah's time. And that's the trap we can so easily fall into in this country if we're not careful. Plenty of people in our lives want to offer us their opinions. They want to, the peer pressure, the cultural pressure that we have. I worked in a place one time where it came from the top down that if you weren't sacrificing your weekends, if you weren't sacrificing more time during the day, if you weren't taking advantage of any so-called free time that you had off of work to do more work, then you are not living up, that you are not being a company person. And there are other people that fall into that same thing where you get pressure from the culture that you are in to produce more, to do more. And if you're not striving to produce more or do more, then you're not a company person. People want to hear what people want to hear. People want to hear what makes them feel good. And the same thing is true about the gospel. That's what Isaiah was facing here. People want to hear about love and acceptance over obedience and judgment. That judgment being correcting sinful behavior. Some want to just lock on God's grace and not be conformed to the passions of that former ignorance. Peter addresses that. For those who just want to lock on God's grace and believe that we just do the best we can and be as good as we can be and God's going to forgive us anyway and cheapen that grace, Peter says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We forget that God's grace is not just in salvation. God's grace is also an enabling for us to overcome the sin that's in our lives, to strive to be people who reflect God's character more and more accurately, people who love like God, who live like God, who overcome sin as God wants us to do, because the more we overcome sin, the stronger the church is going to be, because we are the church. And if we want our church to be strong against sin, then we take a stand against sin. If we want our church to be a loving church, then we be loving. If you want our church to be a forgiving church, then we be forgiving. If we want our church to be a giving church, then we give. If we want our church to be a church that lights the path of a sin-darkened world, then we be individuals who want to take a stand against falsehood and lies and the darkness that they bring into our cultures and into our individual lives, and we stand for truth. We convey that truth. We live in that truth. But it's so easy to fall into the compromise and listen to the cultural pressures that we have. It's so easy to fall into the compromise of not being confident in who we are in God. And I understand that. Well, where do we get that confidence? We get that confidence by being a better student of God's Word, for one. I know it sounds like a pat answer, read your Bible. That's not what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying, but that's not the extent of it. God has communicated His truth to us. And He says, this is what I want you to know. This is who I want you to be. And if you're going to spend any time in a company, and if you continue to rebel against the company manual and company policy, you won't spend a long career there. And God is saying, this is my manual. This is my company policy, if you will. And I want you to be familiar with it. Because this is who I am. This is my love letter addressed to you. And it comes from my heart to yours. And I want you to share my love with others. And we can't share what we don't know. We forget God's grace is enabling. And God's grace comes in not just in forgiveness, but enabling us to be the supernatural. That was a term that I want you to be familiar with, because the natural response for us is to be content in a narrative that we have created about ourselves. This is who I am. I don't want to change because change is hard. Or I don't want to buck against society or culture or my friends because I enjoy them. And so I'm choosing them over God. I'm choosing them over truth. And so this is who I want to be, and I don't want to change because change is hard. I may be cast out. I may lose my friends. I may not be the person that I have been before, the popular person I've been before. I don't want to change because I'm happy with who I am. And so that rock, that stone of stumbling, and God is saying, listen to me. Here I am. I stand in your path. You've got to deal with me. And we just want to ignore it. We want to silence it. We want it out of the way. And God is saying, here I am, and I'm going to give you the power that you need, the enabling that you need to overcome the sin that's in your life. But it has such a strong hold on us because our sin, especially if it's something that is entrenched in us, just feels so good. And it speaks to a need, and it addresses a need, because somebody's been bad to me, and I want to be bad back to them. I don't want to do the supernatural when God says, love those who abuse you, love those who speak against you. I don't want to be that person who forgives when God says, forgive or I won't forgive you. Because grudges are like our fighting back, our pushing back. We're speaking to our dignity. I've been wronged, and now I've got to stand in this, or I'm just going to be walked over, and I've been hurt, and something very precious is taken away from me. And so the natural thing is to fight back and to justify self and defend self. And Jesus is saying, forgive those who abuse you and use you. Love your enemies. And so that's the supernatural that we need the Spirit for. The natural comes easy. That's who we are. It's the supernatural that's hard. And for those who yield to the Spirit's influence and strive after the supernatural, to them God will become a sanctuary, a place of refuge and strength that we can go to be renewed and refreshed, to go to and cry our eyes out if we need to go to and be comforted and strengthened for the continued battle to change who we are into who God wants us to be. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you this day for all that you have given to us as we continue to look back hundreds of years, thousands of years into how you have dealt with your people and what it means to us this day. Father, help us to see the similarities between Isaiah's time and what is going on in our world this day and even with us. Father, we are still the same people. We have a tendency to be rebellious and to fight against you and to ignore you and to silence you in so many ways. Father, may your voice speak loud and clear into our hearts this day. May we take in your truth and may your Spirit apply it to our lives that it may be lived out in the ways, Father, that you would have us to profess that truth, if we are to be your light and salt as you have called us to be. Father, that is our prayer this morning in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.